I praise the Lord for people that can read music, because if I would have been leading that song, I'd have been in the traditional one. I'd have been, you know, I'd have started there and I'm like, oops, that would have been the wrong one. So it caught me off guard a little bit. Glad that Zach knew what he was doing and those playing the instruments knew what they were doing, because I had in mind the other one. So anyway, we praise the Lord. You've heard those jokes, and I'm not meaning to say anything. You've heard the jokes. You know you're getting old when? Well, I'm officially getting old because two times in a row today, the song leader got up and said to turn, and I pulled out my Bible. And I thought, well, now where is that? No, I didn't go that far. But two times, this morning and again tonight, I grabbed my Bible and I started looking until I realized, wrong book. Okay. So, you know you're getting old when you do that. Just don't preach from the hymnal. Hey, the day I start preaching from the hymnal, you better find another place to go, right? The hymnal has a lot of good things, but it's not the Bible. So, all right, Ruth chapter 2. I do believe that's the right place to go. Ruth chapter 2. If you knew half the things that scare me, I scare myself to death up here with things. Where's my notes? Am I preaching tonight? What am I preaching? No, not that far. Ruth chapter 2, and we're looking at a good, just a wonderful story that we have started a few weeks ago and continuing on. And I love Sunday mornings because I like to see what Ruth is doing or what Naomi's doing and now what Boaz is doing. But I tell you, I think my favorite's still Sunday night as I look at what God is doing, because I'll tell you what, that, you know what, I hit home with Boaz and Ruth, but I love to know that my God has got everything in my life in control. And I already know this, and yet for some of you, you say, well, Pastor, good reminder. You know, it is a good reminder, but folks, I want to tell you, we're humans. We need reminders all the time, and reminders aren't anything wrong. We've got to hear it over and over and over. And I'll tell you what, if we don't, when we get out there Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, we forget it. And we get discouraged about things, and we fret about things, and we worry about things, and we're distraught about things. And that's why we've got to come back here on Sunday night and recalibrate and remember, wait a second, God's in control. I'll tell you what, it doesn't matter how spiritual you are, you've got to be reminded over and over again, God is in control. And so tonight is the same thing. We're going to be reminded again how God is in control. But I think that there's some good application tonight that we haven't necessarily looked at. So we're in Ruth chapter 2, similar verses than what we looked at this morning. Let's look at verse 4. We're seeing here, from God's perspective, striving together in Ruth. So this is the eighth message that we have looked at, the fourth Sunday. And so let's look and see God's perspective, or seeing God in chapter 2. And so we look at this section, and so Naomi and Ruth are back in Bethlehem, Judah, and they are there, and now they've got to live. They've got to. They're back, and Naomi feels like she has nothing. Ruth, of course, got a different opinion. Let me go and do something for you, and that's what she says. And so Naomi agrees to it and says, all right, go ahead. That's probably the best thing to do. I'll let you go out and take care of us. Isn't it a good thing that God was taking care of them all along? You know what? Praise the Lord, He used Ruth, but it was God that was watching out for both Naomi and Ruth. God had a perfect plan for both these two ladies. And to tell you the truth, they were completely different. For Naomi, God says, Naomi, don't worry about that. I've got you taken care of, and I've got a beautiful plan in your family. And even though she felt like she lost every part of her family, and even Ruth, thinking about that, somebody came and talked to me after a message, you know, a week or two ago and said, you know, consider this. Think about Ruth. God had a plan for this Moabitish woman that was there in a pagan culture, and yet God had a plan for this lady. And look at what God did to bring her to Himself and to His people, and then to go on and to be used in such the way that she was used. To be in the line, of course, of David and then Jesus Christ. What an amazing perspective that we can look at God. But I want you to see the God's perspective. Point number one that I want to give you, and there's just a couple points tonight, but point number one is the right people in Ruth's life. The right people. Amazing that God puts people in our lives. Well, who does God lead to Ruth and Naomi? Look at verse 4. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, "The Lord be with you." And they answered, "The Lord bless thee." You know, first of all, we look at godly leadership. That's a subpoint under this first one. The right people in Ruth's life. Now, you know the end of the story. Did God bring the right people into Ruth's life? Yes, of course he did. He brought this man into her life, which was eventually going to be who for her? A husband. But it's much more than that. God brought this man into her life to continue to prolong life and to be that picture of who Jesus was going to be to each and every one of us. And we call that the kinsman redeemer. That near kinsman that was there to be able to take her and purchase her and to pull her back from what was, according to their line before, left and now brought back. Folks, that's the story of each one of us. Are you thankful that God brought us back through the blood of Jesus Christ? He purchased us back into the family. And that's the picture that we're going to see. Praise the Lord for the man that God brought to Ruth and Naomi in their lives. You know, you think about the right people. There are people in your lives. First of all, I want you to look at the leadership in your life. And there's lots of different leaders. But here we see a godly leader. You know, praise the Lord that God brought the godly leader here. We know later that we see, and it's proven that Boaz is a godly leader. But right away, we see in verse 4, you know, Boaz, this leader, this master of, this farmer of this land, probably a wealthy man. He was obviously a well-respected man. He was a mighty man of wealth, or we could interpret that the same word, a mighty man of valor. He was a man that he had good character. We've talked about that already. We knew that because of what he says later, but right away here, the farmer, the man shows up on the scene, and what's the first thing that he says to all his workers? What does he say? He said, "The Lord be with you." And he's very specific. Is he just saying, "God, whoever God you serve, be with you"? No, what's the name of God that's used here? It's Jehovah. Remember, when you see all capitals, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, that is a reference to Jehovah, okay? This is Israel's God. And he brings reference, the Lord, Jehovah, be with you. These are his workers. These are his people that he has under him. He says, "The Lord be with you." You know what? I'm thankful that this man had that. Now, were these just words? Well, we'll see in a little while whether they're words. You know, we need to thank the Lord for godly leadership in our lives. As we look at the leadership, wives, you need to be thankful for the godly husbands. Now, I know you can say, "But Pastor, that just because he says, 'The Lord be with you,' that doesn't mean that he was a man of God." Again, we know later on that he was a man of God. But, you know, somebody could, you know, say, "The Lord be with you," and that doesn't mean something. But you know what? Praise the Lord for those people that would say that. Boaz could have been a person that didn't care about the things of God. There were those people in Israel that the next farmer right down the road, he might have had his hands tied in another pagan god at the same time. He might not have said the thing. We ought to be thankful for the leadership that God places in our lives. And wives, the first leadership that I want you to acknowledge is, you know, I know. You say, "You know, my husband doesn't have everything right." And guess what? None of us do. But I want to say this. We ought to thank the Lord. You know, wives, you ought to thank the Lord for the leaders that you have in your home. The men that God has given to you, those husbands that you have, that faithfully goes to work, that pays the bills, that does this for you, that goes out and, you know, shovels the walk when it snows outside, that does this or does that. You know, we ought to be thankful for that. But more importantly, thankful for those that lead us and guide us in the way we ought to go, you know, spiritually. Thank the Lord that my husband takes me to church. Thank the Lord that he steps and he is the godly husband that he ought to be. And thank the Lord that he helps me with this. We ought to thank God for the leadership that God gives. Now, Ruth, she didn't deserve it. Some of you would say, "Well, she did." No, we don't deserve anything except for hell. And yet God gives Ruth, this wonderful lady, he gives her a leader. Now, he's her leader because she goes into his field, and now he has already automatically become a leader in her life. You know, we ought to thank the Lord for godly leadership in our lives. Husbands that are out there, children, and every one of us is a child, whether your parents are with you or not. We ought to thank the Lord for godly leadership with fathers and parents. I want you to think about the things that your parents have done. I know you can quickly say, well, my father or my mother or my parents weren't. But you know what? Thank the Lord for the leadership that your parents did provide, what they did do. Folks, I want to tell you something. We don't thank the Lord for our leadership enough. The husbands, the fathers that God has led into our lives. You can thank the Lord. Many of you have mentioned about pastors that you have had in your lives that have helped you so much. I thank the Lord for Pastor so-and-so back in my day that stuck with me, and he taught me the Word of God, and he was faithful in the Scriptures. Folks, we need to be thankful for those pastors that God has put into our lives. I want to tell you something. You know what? Pastors, and I have had pastors in my life, and by the way, can I stop? I'm not giving you this for me. Forget me. That's why I'm referencing pastors in the past for you, and I'm talking about my pastors that I have had in the past. So forget me. Well, that wouldn't really be biblical. Don't forget me, because it's right, okay? But I'm not tooting my own horn here. We ought to be thankful for the pastors that God has given to us. Do you know what the safety of the church is? There's one time when a church is vulnerable. You know what that time is? It's when a church is without a pastor. You know what? It's a vulnerable time. You know why it's a vulnerable time? You see, because God gives the church a pastor for leadership, to lead and guide. It's called a shepherd. Isn't that what the Bible calls a pastor? One of the names, he's a shepherd. And he's there to lead and guide the flock. You see, when a church does not have a pastor, and you've been there before probably at different times, no, Faith has been there before, when you don't have a pastor, that is the most vulnerable time, because at that point in time, the people are left at that time to be led of purely the Lord, because there's not that leadership. And so if you have a bunch of carnal people, it's a vulnerable time. If you have spirit-led people, well, that's a good thing. But it's the only time where the church is left to pray and make decisions based upon what they're thinking. But I'll tell you, as soon as God gives them a pastor, then there's rest and safety. You think about, and again, I'm not comparing the pastor to Psalm 23, because in that passage, who's the shepherd? The Lord is, okay? And you remember in Psalm 23, what does he say? The Lord is my shepherd, right? And what's the response? I shall not want. Now, when you look at that passage, what is the situation of the sheep? Pretty good situation, right? They're in a place of rest. Because, and you go through that, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. You know, he leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. The whole picture is a place of rest, right? Can I tell you something? When a church has a pastor, they're at rest. Why? Because God has now given them somebody to follow. To follow. You know what? And as people, I'm not talking about for me. You need to be thankful for leadership, because do you realize, and this is something for you to think about, do you realize as people in a congregation, as sheep, you will never have to go to heaven and answer to Jesus Christ for the decisions and the things that this church decided to do? Isn't that a blessing? That is a blessing to you. You don't have to worry about that. You don't have to answer for that. There is one person that will have to answer that, and that's the pastor. I will, and every other pastor that's been through, and every other pastor in a church will have to stand before the Lord one day and answer for the way he led the flock in his way. That's a big responsibility. But folks, it's rest for you. You're at peace. You don't have to worry about it. God gives you leadership to follow. It's peaceful. It's restful. You don't have to worry about it. As that pastor follows the Lord, Folks, the people that God brings in, I'm so thankful. You know, the pastor that grew up, I was born in Rock Springs, Wyoming in 1976, and I was the first baby born to Grace, in Grace Baptist Church of Rock Springs, Wyoming. The church just started and I was born. And so there's a special place, and that pastor that was there, his name is Ron Van Hee. He's in his 80s now. He's an old Bob Jones graduate. He's still serving the Lord. He's in a ministry now where he's an itinerant, and he's ministering to Muslims. It's kind of an interesting thing. You know what? Was he a perfect pastor? No. Was his wife a perfect pastor's wife? No. Were their children perfect? No. But I'm thankful for my pastor because he cared and he led me in the right way. Folks, I want to tell you something. We need to be thankful for the leaders God brings. And I can look and I say, you know what? I am who I am today because of the pastor that God gave me. Week in and week out, he preached the word of God. And no doubt that you're benefiting from some of the things that my pastor, I know that there are things that I do and there are phrases that I say that goes back to that pastor that I had for all those years when I was in Rock Springs, Wyoming, going to Grace Baptist Church. You benefit from that. And that's amazing. Folks, I want to tell you, that's a godly perspective. We thank God for the people that he brings into our lives. Are they going to mean something to us throughout our lives? Absolutely they will, because they will help shape who you are and push you in the right direction. And you know, those sheep can wander around and they know that their shepherd's going to take them in the right place. Of course, that's why you need to be very careful in who comes into this place. It's a man that's going to honor and glorify God and lead the people in the way of the Word of God. Okay, so important. So important. Other leadership that we could go on. We've looked at husbands and fathers and in there parents, pastors, other leadership that you have, teachers, administrators, coaches, bosses, whoever that God has placed into your life. The authority, the government, folks. You say the government, absolutely. We wouldn't be where we're at today if it wasn't. I know you say, yeah, right. We would be in a better place. Folks, God's got it all under control. And he's leading us. The people. I want you to think just for a moment. Who are the people that God put into your life that have helped you to become who you are today? You know what? I have no doubt in my mind that right now, if I opened it up to you, which we're not going to do tonight, if I opened it up to you, we could probably be here for several hours as you shared the different people in your life that God has placed into your life to make you into the and lead you and guide you into the individuals who you are today. I thank the Lord. I thank the Lord who God kept me from back in college when I thought that they ought to be the ones out to marry. I look back and say, Lord, thank you. And now for giving me the family that of my wife's family that I have to be a part of. God, thank you, thank you, thank you. You see, that's God's providence. Way back when he said no to this and yes to this, God was protecting you. God was leading you. God was guiding you. God allowed these godly people to come into your life. Now, we go back to Ruth chapter 2 and verse 4, and we hear Boaz saying, the Lord be with you. And could it be just his words? Well, it could have been, praise the Lord, that it wasn't. Boaz was a godly leader in action as well, and we see that in verses 8 and 9. You know, as he tells Ruth not to go into other fields, he wasn't just a man of words, he was a man of action, and we're not going to dwell on that right now, but praise the Lord for the godly leadership that he had given, God had given to Ruth. Next, under godly people, right people in her life, godly helpers, okay? So the Lord be with you, and what was the worker's response? Well, you read there, and they answered him, the Lord bless thee. Now, can we make a conclusion that these workers were some super extraordinary godly people? Not necessarily, but I want to tell you something. They had enough to bless their master as well. You say, where are we going with this? You know what? It's a blessing to have people around you that seem to care about things of the Lord. It is. It's a blessing to have other people, the workers, the neighbors, the family members that seem to care about the things of the Lord. You know, at work, maybe some of you would say, you know what, I do have one guy at work. You know, he seems to be a Christian. He seems to care about the things of the Lord. Folks, I want to tell you something. You need to thank the Lord for that. You might have a neighbor down the road that you know, I know that guy. You know what, he doesn't go to the same kind of church that I go to, but you know what, he seems to love the Lord. You ought to praise the Lord for that. Or that person that comes to work on your your hot water heater, you know, through the week, and you get to talking and you ask him some questions and you come to find out that he knows the Lord. You ought to thank the Lord for that and praise him that, boy, there's somebody else that knows Jesus Christ. Now, can I say this? That just because a person comes along and you say, are you a Christian? And they nod their head, that does not mean they know the Lord. Okay, please don't take it for granted that just because a person nods their head and says they go to church and they pray, it does not mean they know the Lord. Continue to press it further. Go further with it and make sure that they're trusting in Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. Not just the person that says, I know the Lord, or I'm a Christian, or I go to church, amen, or brothers. No, that's not the case. But let's say that you do find out that they're Christians and they do know the Lord, and it's not just their words. You can tell by the way they act, but their testimony says that they are trusting in the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. I want to tell you something. You need to thank the Lord for that. The godly people that God puts into our lives. Because I'll tell you what, it's very easy that you could have some very ungodly people next door to you. You could have some ungodly people next cubicle over. You could have some other ungodly people that are you're driving to work with day in and day out. And I've worked some jobs in the oil field in Wyoming with some pretty rough hoodlums. And I say, I praise the Lord for Christian people that I can talk to. And if the Lord does give you a few rough people, there are people that you can share the gospel with. And we need to thank the Lord for the people that he puts, you know, at work, neighbors, family members, everyday acquaintances. Praise the Lord. And then thirdly, under godly people, we see a godly will. Now, why do I say will? Because that's not necessarily people. But what I'm talking about is this husband and the line in which Boaz would come. Did God put Boaz and his specific line in the place for a purpose with Ruth? What's the answer? Absolutely he did. You know what? These people were God's will for Ruth in her life. It was God's will that he placed Boaz. It was God's will these workers were there. It was God's will that Naomi came along. It was God's will that she got married to, you know, one of their boys. It was God's will that this happened. And God is leading along. Folks, I want to tell you, you need to be thankful for the people God has placed to you in your life. Because God's using that to produce a godly will. His will to be accomplished. So godly people. Let's move on. So we have right people. And by the way, the application to you there is to stop and think about the people. You know, praise the Lord that I came across, that I drove by that sign out there on 2075 Harrisburg Avenue and I came here. You know what? You need to thank the Lord. Was that chance that you drove by? Was it chance that that person handed you that tract? Was it chance that that person died and you were out there to talk and get invited to come back? You know what? Was it chance? What's the answer? No. You see, God was working together for good. God was working. And I want you to be thankful for the godly people that he has placed into your life. And I'll tell you what, sometimes it's people that you struggle with. Maybe God's placed them there so that you need to learn something or how you deal with difficult people. Maybe they need to get saved. Maybe you need to encourage them. Maybe you need to think about what you're doing. I've shared this before, but a number of years ago, somebody in the ministry, they were not in the ministry, I was, but shared some things that were very, 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 very hurtful to me. And when I heard those things, I just want, you want to, who else, you know, wouldn't want to just give up. But I'm thankful that God allowed it to happen that night because it helped me to become a better man and a better servant for the Lord. That's the perspective that we all need to have. God, thank you. It's hard to thank the Lord for that tough person, isn't it? I want to tell you something, though. God's placed him there for you to learn something. We're talking about the providence of God. Oh, now that brings me to a different attitude about that neighbor. About that person. God is good and he's doing a good work. But second of all, it's not just right people, it's right provisions for Ruth's life. Right provisions for Ruth's life. You remember back in verses 8 and 9, what did Boaz say to Ruth? Hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field. Let neither go thou hence. or from hence, but abide here, fast by my maidens, lest let my, thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go into the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn. Boaz was there to protect Ruth. And now looking down in verse 22, as we see Ruth talking to Naomi and Naomi talking back to Ruth, notice Naomi's response as Ruth explains what God had done in giving her Boaz. As she explains things, notice verse 22, and Naomi said unto Ruth, her daughter-in-law, it is good, my daughter, that thou go out with his maidens, that they meet thee not in any other field. Now, she doesn't say, because this is a dangerous spot, but I think it was a breath of fresh air that Naomi found out that her daughter-in-law was protected through Boaz. And you can read in verse 22, a breath of fresh air. Whew. Praise the Lord that she ended up in the right place. Folks, I want to tell you that wasn't happenstance. That was a good and mighty God that says, you know what, I want to protect and provide for this young lady. I want to put her in a right spot. And there it was, protection from danger. You know, I wonder what or who God is protecting us from. Now that question is hard to answer because you'll never really know. Maybe someday you can ask God, what did you protect me from? We've talked about the deer on the roads or the cars that almost, you know, hit you or whatever. Let me tell you a story. Melissa and I went out by ourselves the other day to do something. I can't remember what it was, but we were out and I was in my, you know, little truck. And I'm driving down the road in Palmyra. They're right, it's actually right near Campbelltown, if you can kind of picture that. There's an ice cream place right there. And we're going right up there. And we're going down the road, and we weren't going very fast. The traffic, there was quite a bit of traffic going up and down the road. It was in the afternoon. And we were there, and right up ahead of us, there was a young boy, probably, maybe about 12, on his bicycle. And he was going in the same direction that we were in traffic, on the edge of the road. And he was at a fairly safe place off the edge of the road. So we're going, probably just because of traffic, only going about 20, 25 miles an hour, just slowly up that road. And I saw the boy, it was no question, and he's going and he's looking, and I am not joking, Melissa almost could have touched the boy if she would have reached her hand out. All of a sudden, right before we got to him, he did not look this way. He was looking at the traffic coming this way, and he turned right in front of us. I'm telling you, if he actually didn't even touch the bumper, I'd be surprised. And of course, I slammed on my brakes. Now that really scared Melissa. That she was, for the next little while, she was, we could have killed that boy just like that. And whether or not it would have been my fault, his fault, I tell you what, that wouldn't help me feel any better. And I want to tell you something. I'm so glad that God helped me to stop on a dime just like that, that he helped me to do that. You know, I can't attribute it to my good reflexes or anything like that. God stopped us because I could have ran over that boy just in an instant, and it probably would have killed him even at 20 miles an hour. Right there, and he stopped, and it scared him. Melissa said she thinks she heard him yell. We were right there. I want to tell you something. What has God kept us from? And we don't really know all those answers. We saw that, but what about the other things that you didn't see? Who has God protected you from? Those nights that maybe somebody was driving up and down the road ready to, you know, to do some crime and they passed your house. Why? I don't know, but God did it. Folks, I want to tell you, we have a God that's sovereign and in control, and God protects us more than we ever know. And I don't know if we ever will know how much he protects us. What is God? Who is God protecting you from? You know, we talk about protection during a storm. We've had some storms this last year and some things that were kind of scary, whether it's wind or whether it's, you know, heavy rains and this and that. And we look and say, you know, maybe a hurricane went through, and not necessarily for us, but in other places. And we can look and we can see the power of the storm. And through it all, we stop and we say, God, thank you for protecting us. And rightly so. Rightly so. But stop and think. Who holds the world and earth together at this very moment when it's still and peaceful and calm? Do you realize if God took his fingers off of the earth, we would be destroyed? You see, God is not just a God in the storm. God is God right now. Because if he took his finger off of us, we would spin out into nowhere. But God has us just perfect on the right axis and the right degree and tilt and the right, all those scientific terms, you know, the kids are learning in science. God's got it all under control at all times. It's not just when difficult things happen or the situation like us. God is protecting us. The right provisions, as we see next under protecting us from danger, we see provisions sufficient. You know, this morning we talked about Ruth receiving, you know, this good, you know, back in verse 14, and Boaz said unto her, at mealtime, come thou hither and eat the bread and dip the morsel in the vinegar. And she sat beside the reapers and he reached her her parched corn, and she did eat and it was sufficed and left. And we see that she had provisions sufficient. It was more than enough than what she needed. The food for the present and Ruth, you know, in her meal. I want to tell you something. God is at work all the time when we take for granted the next meal. You know, some of you are thinking about what you're going to eat when you go home, you know, Sunday night. And it's popcorn night, it's pizza night, it's snack night, it's who knows what you have tonight, or maybe you already ate it. But you know what? We don't really, in our society, we don't really worry about what tomorrow for breakfast is going to hold or for lunch. But I want to tell you something. Would it not be for God, we wouldn't have it. Oh, my friends, we ought to be thankful for when we wake up and eat that bowl of Wheaties or whatever you eat. Because I'll tell you what, if God wouldn't provide, we wouldn't have it. You say, well, I've got lots of savings in the bank. Don't put your trust in the bank because the bank might be gone tomorrow. We've got to trust in a good God that is there to provide. Folks, God doesn't want us to worry about what tomorrow's going to bring. Tomorrow will take care of itself. He says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and what? All these things shall be added unto you. I want to tell you something. We can be very thankful for that God has everything under control for tomorrow. He's got your meals. And you might have to go without a meal. I don't know. There might be somebody in here is very tight. You might have to go without a meal. But God's got it under control. Your clothes. You say, Pastor, we don't have, you know, the clothes that we need for our children. You know what? God's got that under control. A place to live, a roof over your head, which so many of us are so blessed with, and we take it for granted. My friends, don't take it for granted. But I'll tell you what, we don't have to worry about it, but God's got it under control. And he had Ruth under control. You know, honestly, that morning that Ruth went out, they didn't know what they were going to eat that night. But did Ruth and Naomi have to worry? No, because God was in control. And you know what? A good God led Ruth to the right spot. He led her to the right people. He led her to the right protection and the right provisions. And Ruth got to sit down with a boss as he served her and had more than what she needed. That's a good God that we have. My friends, I want to tell you, you don't need to be afraid about tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself. No, you be concerned about seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And thirdly, we see provisions abundant. Provisions abundant. It was more than what she needed. And here, when we talk about provisions, I'm not even talking about the food. We see God's perfect will. I want to tell you something. It would have just been a miracle that Ruth go and meet Boaz, and just so they could get married and have children, that the line, you know, of Naomi and Elimelech could go on. But I tell you, it was much more than that. It was much more. Did Ruth deserve to be in the line of King David? Not really. Did she deserve to be in the line of Jesus Christ? Not really. But I'll tell you, God does have a wonderful and most abundant plan for your life. A perfect plan. It's a perfect plan. And we need to be sure to follow that plan, but let Him lead and guide you until death. And folks, I want to tell you, if we can do that, we can have rest and peace in whatever situation is. We're learning about God's providence. We're learning about how God has everything. Now, you're seeing what's being unfolded before us in Ruth chapter 2. Let me ask you a question. Did God have everything accounted for with Ruth? From food, people, protection, abundance, a perfect plan? Let me ask you, does He have that same for you? He does. You're no different than Ruth. God's got a perfect plan for you. And he's doing it. And so, in application, don't forget, the people around you are the right people that need to be around you. Praise the Lord for the people around you. Whether somebody that you think is an asset or somebody that you say, I don't know about that one. No, count it. Count it as God's plan for your life. God, thank you. Thank you for the people that you've put into my life. Thank you for the godly authority. Thank you for the husband. Thank you for the wife. Thank you, God, for the children. Thank you for that leadership. God, thank you for that pastor. Thank you for that teacher. Thank you for that boss. Thank you for those people that I struggle with. God, thank you for that. That's hard for us to do, but that's recognizing a good God. God, thank you for the provisions. Thank you for the protection. Thank you for getting us home safely. God, thank you for what you've done to protect me. And thank you for keeping me from that thing or that one that I thought that I should have. God, thank you for giving me this best. Thank you for this family. Thank you for this job. You see, God is good. And He's got a plan. And I'll tell you, you won't be in the line of King David. And you won't be in the line of Jesus, indirectly. But I'll tell you something. That doesn't mean that your line is any less important. Mary, oh, she was the mother of Jesus. I'll tell you what, it's a privilege to be Mary, but I'll tell you what, she was a person just like us. And you're just as special to God as Mary was. I'm not trying to lift up Mary. I'm just saying, a lot of people in this world lift up Mary. You know what? You're a blessed child of God just as much as Mary is. You're a blessed child of God that God has a perfect plan and He wants to use you. And I'll tell you what, if you'll follow that plan when you get to Jesus Christ one day as you stand before Him, and as He looks at what you've done in life, and if you've done what He's asked you to do, I'll tell you what, it's going to be just as if you were Ruth or Boaz or David. Because you're going to be, God has you to be you, not anybody else. And your life circumstances, you say, well, I'm not a king. I'm not a leader. I'm not of this. You know, you just be who God wants you to be. And you do it right. And that is a blessed position. And God's got a perfect plan for you. Glory in that and praise the Lord. Be thankful for what He's given to you and say, I'm excited to just continue to live for the Lord. He's got everything under control. He's got everything under control. Let God have His way with you. Father, would you help us to see that you've got it all taken care of. God, you have placed people into our lives. Lord, and we thank you for the godly people. We thank you for the rest that they provide for us. God, we thank you for the provisions, the protection. God, thank you for the plan that you have given to us. And Lord, we're excited and eager to see what plan you have for us, individually and in family, but also corporately as a body of Christ at Faith Bible Church. God, I'm excited to see what you're going to do with us. Lord, help us to understand that you've got everything under control right here in this church. Help us just to follow the leadership that you've provided. We look forward one day for you, you know, as you see what's been accomplished to please you with all that we can do. God, help us. Thank you for leading us and continue to lead us. Guide us, thou, O great Jehovah. God, lead us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.